Hey, ladies, guys, are you running to the bathroom all day because you can't hold it?
Or maybe when you're laughing or you're jumping on a trampoline with your kids, you tinkle a little. Yeah, it's something we laugh about, but it's really no joke.
Yeah, and people don't want to talk about these problems, but we're going to chirp about it.
Of course.
And this is Chick to Chick. This is really a problem that affects millions of Americans. Maybe you have an overactive bladder and you feel like you're running to the bathroom all day, or as you said,
you're just playing with your kids or you're laughing with your girlfriends. I mean, how many times are we cracking up at something and somebody goes, oh my gosh, I just peed my pants.
I do it all the time.
Guilty. Yeah. It's happened to me a time or two, but really it's an issue. And something I didn't also realize is that men have these issues too. I guess they just don't talk about it like we do. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to talk about it, but you have to talk about it to get it out there and realize that you don't have to live like this. Mm-hmm. This does affect lives. It impacts lives. People are making decisions saying, oh, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that because I'm going to be running to the bathroom all day and maybe there isn't a bathroom around.
Yeah.
There can be a very simple solution to all of these problems, and all we need to do is talk about it.
We do, and we do have someone here who's going to sort it out for us and take that stigma away for both men and women. And for that, we're grateful. It's a good conversation we're going to have.
Yep. Our guest today is Dr. Vanessa Elliott. She is with Urology of Central Pennsylvania. Hi, doctor.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for being with us today. Doctor, let's just start at the very beginning here. Why do people have an overactive bladder? What's happening in our body that causes this problem?
So the reality is sometimes we really don't know. So 90% of patients, we don't really have a root cause of why they suddenly have these symptoms, but we know that there's some type of an alteration between the brain and the nerves to the bladder that suddenly makes people begin to have the process of an overactive bladder.
So you talk about that lack of connection with the brain and the bladder. What is the way that we can work through that? Do you have something that you can give to patients to help them through that?
Sure. So a lot of patients, we start with easy things. I mean, most patients, by the time they come and see me, they've tried all the simple things. They've watched what they drink. They cut fluids out before bedtime. They try all of the easy stuff. And then once they start seeing me, we start talking about options like physical therapy, trying to retrain the bladder so that they can move beyond this. We sometimes talk even about trialing medications to see if we can calm the bladder so that they have longer between voids and less accidents. And so those are some basic things that we start with.
So if you start with those things and they don't work, is there another option? Is there another solution here?
Yeah, there sure are. And so then patients can move on to what we call advanced options. So advanced options aren't advanced because they're so difficult or because they're really painful or much to go through. They're really advanced because, you know, in this country, our insurance companies want us to start with really basic things and then move forward. And so advanced options are things like maybe Botox injections. We inject medication into the bladder to calm the bladder. And those are things you have repeated on, you know, an interval depending on the patient. And then the other option for patients at times is what's called an InterStim or sacral nerve modulation. It really means stimulating the nerve that goes to the bladder to try to correct the problem.
Wait a minute. Go back. You said Botox? You use Botox?
I knew you were going to pick
Wait
up
a
on
minute.
That one.
Explain that one.
Right.
What's that all about?
Yeah, Botox has been around forever, but since about 2011, the FDA approved it to be used for patients who have frequency, so going often, urgency, and accidents because they have an urge and they can't control it. And so we look into their bladders, and just like you would inject it into someone's face, we prick the bladder in various locations, inject the medication, and within 2 weeks, the medicine starts to take effect. And Botox, just like for the face, it's not forever, but in the bladder, it lasts usually on average for about 6 months before they have to have it repeated again.
Oh, wow. That's kind of an easy solution
What I like is that you're giving a lot of different solutions before you really have to, you know, do something. I wouldn't say drastic, but do more measures. But I guess the other thing, I have a question. There's a difference between someone who constantly has to go to the bathroom and someone who has those occasional leakages or just leaking here and there. Break down that difference for us.
Sure. So when patients come into the office, I always try to tell them that there's really two major types of leakage, especially for women. And one is the urgency, the frequency, the urge leakage, where they just get that feeling like I can't get there in time and I can't control it. And then the other leakage is like that trampoline leakage that people talk about, or the laugh or the cough or the sneeze. And we call that stress incontinence. So they stress themselves in some way physically, and they have an accident because of it. And so stress incontinence is a little different. Stress incontinence we typically don't treat with Botox or with that stimulator. We do more of surgery to kind of correct the support that women might have lost from having, you know, children or things like that over the years, lack of estrogen. And so we typically do more of surgery or physical therapy to strengthen things, whereas for that urge, it's more about trying to relax things. We want to relax the bladder, calm it down so they can hold their urine.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask about that when you said the stretching. So is this the leakage problem? Is this caused by childbirth? Or you also mentioned estrogen and a lack of estrogen. So what happens to the female body that causes this stretching?
Yeah, as we age, as we carry children, even women who lift heavy things, that support that sits underneath the urethra is the little kind of tube that women and men pee through. As that, as things change over time, they lose the support underneath there. And so I tell my patients this analogy all the time, which is, you know, if you're washing your car with your hose and you don't have a nozzle on it, you drop the hose on the ground, you can step on it when it's on concrete and you can shut off the flow. But when you drop that hose on the grass and you try to step on it, you just can't crimp the hose off the same way. And so that's really what's happened to women when we start to leak with the laugh, the cough, the sneezes. We lose that support underneath the tube. And so by doing physical therapy or doing surgery, we're giving those patients back kind of their concrete so that they can stop their flow.
So what is the first thing that you try to do to correct leakage? You don't automatically go to surgery, do you?
Correct. No. So it depends what the source of the leakage is. So if the leakage is because of that lack of support, the first line is to try to do physical therapy and strengthen it on your own. And a lot of women can do that. And there's a lot of certified pelvic floor therapists in our area. And we send them there. And I always check back with them in a few months and see how they've done. And then the next step would be to consider a procedure. For the urge leakage, though, that's where, again, you can do physical therapy, but medications come into play before we get into like the Botox and the stimulators. So both types of leakage have kind of some conservative steps to start with before we start talking procedures.
Now, is this really, are we talking about women mostly with this, what you're talking about right now as far as the therapy and the treatment? Are they similar to what you see with men? I gotta be honest, I really didn't know that men had this type of issue. So now I'm spinning my wheels thinking, how does this work? So I'll let you explain that.
So women, by far and large, definitely have more issues with incontinence, frequency, urgency, all of those things. Statistically, women have more of a problem with it. Men can, though, for various reasons. So maybe men have an enlarged prostate that's giving them some of these issues. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they've had prostate cancer and have had a prostate surgery, and now they're having leakage. So most often in men, there's more of a kind of clear-cut answer of why they have it. But in women, a lot of times, it's just kind of unknown, and we look for risk factors.
So you mentioned the surgery. Let's talk about that. How invasive is it? Is it in and out the same day? Talk to us about
recovery,
that.
Recovery, all that stuff, yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, depending. So if you're looking at stress incontinence, so leakage with stressful activity, those surgeries, they're outpatient surgeries, in and out the same day. The vast majority of the time, patients do not have a catheter afterwards, but they do require a little bit of downtime. And so for some of the procedures, they require restrictions on how much they lift, being in a tub or a pool for usually around a month afterwards. But patients really feel pretty good after a few days and are typically back to work again. When you talk about the procedures for urge incontinence like Botox, I mean, realistically, you can have Botox done and go for lunch afterwards and you're fully pulled down.
And I'm sure some have for other reasons.
It's an easy one. When you have a stimulator placed, again, not a terribly large procedure. You trial the procedure first. Again, outpatient. Even with the implant, still outpatient surgery. Again, that one you would have a little bit of restrictions as far as some of your activities for a few weeks. But by and large, these are not large surgeries that women are going through to fix these problems.
And I like what you said, the device, it's a trial first before you actually implant it. So how long is that trial before you get to that point?
So correct. So to have that device implanted, you have to trial it, which is good. No one wants something that's not going to work for them.
Right.
And typically the trials, depending on the way in which we do it, are anywhere from 5 days to 7 days is a typical amount of a trial in the office. And so patients come back afterwards to see me. And what I want to know is, you know, did it help them? They have to, by insurance standards, they have to have at least a 50% improvement in their urgency, in their frequency, or in their incontinence, as far as like how many pads they're using, things like that, before they would move forward. And most women, you know, who move forward have a lot more than 50% improvement, but we at least have to see a 50% improvement.
The bottom line is you don't have to live like this. There are easy solutions. And doctor, if people want more information, what is your website? Is there a number to call?
Sure. So our website is www.urologycp.com. And you can call into the office, 717-763-1174. That would connect you to either of our offices to make an appointment.
Doctor, this was fascinating.
Yeah,
thank you so much. I think for people listening at home, they really probably feel a lot more at ease about how to handle this situation. So we really appreciate you bringing this beneficial information to us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, doctor. The bottom line is, you know, things happen to us. We get older. Our body changes. Talk about it.
Have
it's okay to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about it, you get information and you find a solution. Why do you want to live like that when you can get Botox
for other things? It was fascinating information.
Yeah, it really was great information.
And I don't have these types of issues right now, but I like knowing that there are several steps to get to the solution, and there is a solution. That was really good information.
It was great information. So as always, you can follow us. We are all over social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Now we're on IGTV. You can watch our podcast there.
The full podcast. Yeah.
And also our website, chicktochick.com.
And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube page. And that way, every single Monday, the Chicks are going to drop a new podcast to you.
All right. Until next time, when we will be back next week to chirp about another topic.